Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we thank you for each person here this morning, Lord. Everyone that is here this morning, Lord, is not here just by chance. There was a drawing, Lord, in their hearts to be here for this specific moment, Lord. There is something that you want to do, Lord, in each person this day, Lord. I ask that you would open the eyes and ears of their hearts to hear what you have to say to them today, not only through Pastor Henry's words, but even through the worship music, through just even words that come from those that are in this building this day, Lord. Maybe you, Lord, have given someone a word to give to somebody this morning, Lord. So we welcome what you do in this place, Lord. We thank you for the freedom. We thank you, Lord, that you love this church body, Lord, and you want to see us all of one mind and one heart, Lord. We bless what you do this day, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name.
You know, this song is, if you just listen to the words, if you can put, Terry, the first set of words back up, the first verse. I just want to, it says, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Have you, I know most of you have probably heard, sorry, the saying, the grass is greener where you water it. I have seen this saying come up so much this week. And all week I've been like, okay, yeah, everybody says that, right? Like, and it's just something that, like, I've seen people put on Facebook, and I'm kind of like, yeah. But the truth is it really is better where you water it, right? It's the same thing with God. If you take the time to just go after Him, to really just soak in. There's, the Bible talks about a hunger and a thirst for Him. It's because this song, I just love, it hits that point exactly. People will spin their wheels in the world over and over and over. They will constantly spin their wheels with things, in things that they're just, you know, I want to do this my way. This is the way I want to do it. I know you guys have heard me a while back. I was talking about, and it's funny because I don't remember a lot of things I say up here a lot of times because it's just flowing. But I remember that I said at one point that we got to get out of this point where we got one foot in the world and one foot out of the world in the kingdom. Because that's not the way we're meant to function. You're meant to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Can I tell you, I don't know who this is for this morning, but if you are playing this thing of like, I want to do what I want to do, but I also want to do what you want me to do, God, I can tell you, you will spin your wheels over and over and over. That feeling of, I don't understand why this won't work. I won't understand why my relationships are falling apart. I can't understand why things are not working out the way I planned. You'll continue to feel that until you just allow God to satisfy the need. Because what you need is Him. What you need is for God to be showing you and leading you what in every single battle, storm, everything that you're going through. Because I guarantee you, there is nothing better than Him. You will continue to fight a battle on your own that if you just look to Him and say, God, I give it to you, every part of it. He will fight for you. He will arm you. He will strengthen you. He will give you joy. He will give you every single thing that you need. And with really not any gentler way to put it, just get out of the world. Just get out of there. Stop letting it, the little satisfactions and joys that you might be getting from, I don't know, doing the things you want to do. Stop letting that satisfy you temporarily and go after God for something that is going to satisfy you fully and completely for eternal life. Because just like this song said, the rest, it's going to fade. It's going to fade away and it's going to subside. And when it does, you're still going to be looking. But if you just turn to God and you allow Him to do what He's wanting to do in your life, I guarantee you, it's that life more abundantly that you find.
I love this song because our Lord is great. He loves every one of you more than you can imagine. And He wants to do things for you. But the thing is that He needs to have a relationship with you. You need to talk to Him with not the faith that you have, but you have the faith in you that He has. So as He is, so are you. And I just needed to give you a praise report. I just so awesome. You know that God loves you so much and He loves me. And this happens to all of us because we all have Him in us. Last weekend, I had what we call a cousin reunion. We have 11 of our grandchildren come over. We do a bonfire. They spend the night. And it's just wonderful to have them there. And what happened was Friday, it rained cats and dogs. And we were, John had mentioned about, what's going to happen on Saturday? I guess the kids are going to be in the house all day. And I'm going, oh, no, they're not. So I just said, Lord, and I said, no, it's not going to happen. We're going to have a beautiful day. It's going to be wonderful. The kids, God is faithful and He knows how important it is to me. He knows the desire of my heart. So on Saturday, it was beautiful. No rain. No, the weather was perfect. And we had a wonderful time. The next day, Sunday, it rained cats and dogs. Monday, it rained cats and dogs. But Saturday, it didn't. It didn't. And it's what He says, what you say is very important. And it's not you talking to Him about your mountains. It's talking to your mountains about Him. So instead of being negative, you're saying, no, it's not going to. And the more you believe with His faith, not yours, the more you're going to see the wonders of God, how wonderful He is. But we need to know that He is wonderful. And it's us within ourselves that are going to change the atmosphere around everywhere else. So as long as we can say, I'm walking with the faith of Jesus because He's in me and He loves me and He wants to bless me with the desires of my heart, He will come forth. He will love us and He will show Himself to us. And it's not that He is, it's not that He doesn't do it for us. It's because we have doubts that He will. You are so special and so loved that He will do it for you. And you just have to speak it. He spoke into the light and it became light. Well, bring light into your life and it will come light.
I want to thank God before I say anything. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Stella and Pastor John. I thank God because they went with me and my husband and prayed for my land. Mm-hmm. We sold our land.
Wonderful. Praise God. <All right.
laughs> And everything went wonderful, smooth, beautiful. we didn't get what we want to get, but we finally got it done. And what the bliss was, the legacy there was going to be, the couple, they get in the land, they're going to be the same legacy that I got. They're going to build a house. There's a young couple, beautiful couple. And they're going to build a house. Their dream is they're going to build a house for themselves and their kids. And they're going to build a house for their grandparents, for their parents. So that's what I did in my life. I was in my house, and I have a house for my parents. I have my land for 40 years, and I have the legacy that I have my house for myself, and I have a house for my parents. Yes. And when I hear that, my tears come out of my eyes. And I say, thank you, Lord, because the praise for my land come true. Yes. There was a balance. And I thank you for praise for my land. Yeah. Thank you. And I want to thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, I'm going to say I have a praise report as well. But it's going to sound weird if I don't read this first. Okay. This is Psalm 42:5. It says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay. So the reason I'm saying this is because, remember, I got up here last week, and I said that there is some bad stuff going on, right? And I was like, it's just really difficult right now. Well, it got worse.
Come on.
It's like a grenade went off and it went to the next level. Okay. But the thing is I know who God is. I know what he can do in my life. I know that the worse it gets, the greater his glory is. The greater the redemption is. I know that because of the book of James, where it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. I know that in me it's going to produce perseverance. And then in me it's also going to make me mature, so I'll be complete and lacking nothing. You know, the thing is one of these things I've been waiting on for 6 years. You know, if I were to just go, because like some people are just like, just get another job. The thing is I know God wants me where I'm at, because that helps me with what is my priority, which is what I do for God. I'm able to be here at church whenever I need to be because of my job and where God has placed me. It'd be very simple for me just to go somewhere else, get rid of the problem. But that problem's going to show up again, I'm sure. So I would just be running away from something, not maturing, not getting stronger, and not glorifying God and showing that he's victorious in everything. So let me just tell you that you should always push on to do whatever God's called you to do. Even when it's difficult, always praise him, always worship him, because he's the one that will conquer over everything. Even if that means years. Okay. If it, you know, doesn't come in a day, it's all right. Weeks, months, years. Imagine all the things we read in the Bible where if people did not stick by and just get through whatever it was they were trying to get through, Imagine how many stories about Bible heroes would not be there. So this is also, this is in Isaiah 30, it's verse 18. It says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." So whatever you're going through, make sure you always do what God's called you to do. And you will be victorious.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. You can be seated, except for you. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How great is our God? Amen. Is he great? Is he great enough for you to stand up one more time? Just say, thank you, Father. Just stand up and say, Lord, we thank you this morning, God. Father, it's good to be in your house, Lord. Father, we've called this, Father, you've called it, Father, the house of worship. So, Lord, we do. We worship you. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, nothing. Nothing. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Nothing. Nothing is better than you. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing is better than him. Hallelujah. Father, praise God. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father. I was just to say this to you. Hey, in today's world, you better know the word of God better than you've ever heard. No, amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You better know God's word like you've never known it before. Hallelujah. You better let him in. Let him show you things because he desires to give you things today that will carry you through tomorrow. How many say amen to that? God is good. God, and he's gonna watch over his people no matter what happens. Amen? Amen. So get ready, folks. Get ready. God is getting ready. He's placing the wedding garments on the bride of Christ. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. He's getting ready. He's getting you ready. So get ready. How many say amen? Hallelujah. Before you sit down, look at somebody and say, get ready. And some of you say, wake up. Amen. Come on, man. And you can sit and shake a hand or whatever. Hallelujah. Hug on somebody's neck real quick. All right. And then hallelujah. If you're taking notes today, the name of the sermon today is called the Influence of One. The Influence of One. Last week, I talked about how God wants us to influence the world. Amen. You folks, you know what? You can be seated if you like. Go ahead and sit down if you'd like. Bothers me. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, the influence. Last time I talked about the influence, and God wants us to influence the world. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It is time that the world, that you quit allowing the world to influence you. How many say amen to that? Amen. It's time that the Holy Spirit, the only influence that comes to you and to who you are and your family and everything, is the influence of the Holy Spirit. How many say amen? Amen. Grace, the word grace. Hallelujah. The word grace is, I just forgot about what it means in the Greek. Yeah, I can't do it for the word. Grace. The Greek word is, I forgot it. Well, charis. Thank you, baby. My wife. Come on, Henry. She goes, come on, Hank. That's what she tells me all the time. Hey, the Greek word charis for grace. It's divine influence upon your heart. And it's reflection in your life. Amen? His influence that comes in your heart needs to be reflecting out of your life. If it's not, folks, come on, what are we doing? Amen? Come on, man. We're here to influence the world, and that's what God desires. Amen? If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. Hallelujah. Chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 8. But before we do that, we're going to pray. Let me say amen to that. We're going to ask the Lord that he would reveal his word, what he has for each individual here today. How many say amen? God has something to give you this morning. Are you ready for it? Hallelujah. God says, hey, man, let me speak into your heart this morning. Let me give you what you haven't had. Amen? How many say amen? Come on, man. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, you know the lives of each and every one of us, Father. You know what we're going through and what we've been through. And we're getting ready to go through, Father. So, Lord, let your word, Father God, be implanted in, write, Holy Spirit, your word upon our hearts, the ones we will need. We need it all, Father, but God, you know our needs. So, Lord, speak into hearts today in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 8. Get somebody. Can I get a bottle of water from somebody, Rosie? Maybe. Thank you. I stuck a mint. Is it cold? Come on, babe. She says, come on, Hank. I said, come on, babe. Thank you. I put a mint in my mouth to try to moisten my mouth a little bit. I'm going to choke on right in front of all you. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 8. That feels good. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Isn't it cool? Isn't God neat?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you to look at a scripture, and this scripture is Jeremiah 23:24. Says this, can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God fills the heaven and earth. And so when you're telling secrets, you better watch out. Amen? Come on. Come on, man. This king is telling his servants, hey, this is where we're going to be. We're going to attack Israel. And the man of God that was in Israel told the king of Israel, hey, don't go down there, man. That's where they're going to, there's a ambush. I'm going to give you one more scripture. It says this, since I'm here, Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13 says this, the word of God is living and powerful. How many say amen?
Amen.
Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did I give you 13 for that? Can you put that up real quick? Hallelujah. Sorry, we're going to take a pause from our story real quick. In verse 13, which is coming, Brother Terry's really fast. It says, there is no creature hidden in this from his sight. How many say amen? Amen. See, he sees everything. Yeah, you can't get nothing by on God. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. No creature is hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. How many say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good to know? You go, uh-oh. How many say, uh-oh? Yeah, uh-oh. You mean you saw that, God? Yeah, he did. See, and you, the thoughts and the intents of your heart, God sees. How many say amen to that? We are in a time, folks, where your thoughts and the intents that are going on in your heart, you better put some kind of a snare on them. You better put something to slow them down. How many say amen to that? Yeah, quit thinking the way you're thinking and start thinking the way God wants you to think. How many say amen? Quit thinking about you so much. Amen? Come on, man. Who's number one? We're number one. Hallelujah. God wants you to know who he is and know that he knows you better than you know yourself. Amen. So verse 10 of the, then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once, nor twice, but many times, I would say. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, but O king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Amen? Come on, man. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and with chariots. And a servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them." How many say amen to that? We serve a God that has angel armies. Amen? Anytime you read, and if you're not in certain translation, if you read the words where it says the Lord of hosts, that host means angel armies. It means a great multitude of people on your side. How many say amen to that? Angels on your side. Is that okay? So never think that you're alone. So he answered and said, "Do not fear. Those that are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amen. Does God watch over his people? Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. It says, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And the Lord struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me." Amen. "Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital, or if you will, of Israel. It was where the king of Israel dwelt. See, because the nation had been broken into two pieces. It was Judah and Israel. Jerusalem was where the king of Judah sat, and Samaria is where the king of Israel was. So when Elisha took these guys into that city, guess what? They're in the city of the enemy. How many say amen to that? I think God's got a good sense of humor. I think he loves playing these. I think he loves it when things like this happen. Isn't that cool? Amen. Now Elijah said to them, "This is not the way, nor this is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them into Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elijah said, "Okay, Lord, open the eyes of these men and that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. You see how it's got kind of a... Now they were inside Samaria. You see the exclamation mark in there? They were inside Samaria. Now the king of Israel saw them, and he said to Elijah, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." An opportunity to wipe out the enemy. How many say amen to that? Amen. Here's an opportunity to wipe out this enemy. And the man of God says, "No, feed them. Give them water." Do you remember that Elisha... When Elijah was about to take off in the chariot, Elisha said, "What do you want?" And Elijah said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah said, "Hey, if you see me when I ride out of here in that heavenly Uber or the chariot of God, if you see me, God will grant your request." I believe that Elisha, and the scriptures show that Elisha did twice the miracles that Elijah did. How many of you say amen? But I believe that Elisha was gifted something else, a gift of love. He says, "No, man, feed them." Pretty cool. Now when the king is, verse 22, he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went into their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Do you see what doing that did for them? Now the king of Syria said, "Hey, I think we're going to give up attacking them." Is that okay? They seem to have somebody that's working for them. How many say amen? They have a God that is able to blind us in an instant and then give us our sight again. How many say amen? There's something different going on with this king. Is that right? Yeah. This prophet. Holy moly. How do we fight something like that? So they quit going. Amen. They got fed and they went. One of the questions, you know, what's kind of crazy is that God would show the prophet everything that was happening. Isn't that right? He showed, he goes, hey, these guys are going to meet at this place. This is what the king's planning. So he would show the prophet the plans of the king of Syria, and the prophet would tell the king of Israel so that there was no ambush, never happened. Amen. But why wouldn't God tell Elisha about this army that was coming to get him? Why? Amen? Why wouldn't he tell him that there's an army? Because as we can see by the story, there is a purpose. Is that right? God was fixing the hearts of these guys so that they would never come back in to attack with that king. So there was purpose. How many say amen to that? Amen. Purpose. How many of you guys ever asked God why? Anybody said, hey, why God? Anybody? Or am I the only one that said once in my life, I said, why God? Why did this happen, God? Amen? God has been speaking some things to me about us asking why. You know, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ and who he is and what God has done for you, you should take why out of your vocabulary. Is that okay? Is that all right? Because we got to understand that God has bought us. We belong to him. Why? Did somebody say what? Take that why out of your vocabulary. Amen. You're a bunch of jokesters in here. Why? Hallelujah. We don't need whys anymore. How many say amen to that? You see, God has done a mighty work for us. Amen. You belong to him. Is that right? I remember when my little brother passed away. I went to the Lord in my living room crying out, why, God? Why? I did everything right. We took the elders of the church. We anointed him with oil. We spoke the word of God over him. God, why? And God answered me that night. He said this, Henry, do you trust me? And when he asked me that, something, God, I trust you. Kind of took the why out. Amen. Not too long ago, I had my truck stolen. But I kept my mouth shut. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Amen. Amen. Praise God, man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They got my truck, God. Amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't happy about it. But let me tell you something. I have learned that whatever happens to me, it's up to God. Yes. Is that right? Do you know that? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Look at this verse. It says this. Therefore, if any man or woman, okay, just for you ladies, if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. God takes everything away, and all of a sudden you're brand new. Is that right? Amen. You are brand new. The only thing is that you need to know what God has done for you. So you need to learn about the things that God is doing that's new in your life. Amen. The very next verse says this. Amen. Verse 18. Yes. It's a coming. Verse 18 says, so the first one says, old things pass away, all things become new. Verse 18 says, and all things are what? All things are of God. Because you're brand new, because you belong to him now, everything that comes to you is from him. Is that okay? Amen. I mean, some folks say, what about it? You belong to him. And everything that comes your way, folks, listen, you got to stop asking him why. Let me show you. You know why? That sounds weird, huh? Because he's already given you the answer. Amen. You put up Romans 8, 28. And you guys know this by heart. He's already told you why you shouldn't ask him why. He says, because all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. That's why. So why would you ask him why? So it's time that you just, I mean, can I tell you that asking God, keeping yourself in this position of saying, well, why this, God, why that, you know? Isn't it funny how when God gives you something good, you don't ask him why? Is that right? How many, well, why God? Praise God. There's this worship that comes out. Yeah, God, hallelujah. When Mary Ann told me that her husband was selling his truck and I looked at it, I go, yeah, I'll take that truck. You bet. I was like, yeah. I wasn't going, why God? Why? No way. I said, man, God, you blessed me. Your blessings are upon my life.
Amen.
And I do believe part of it is because I did not. I said, Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. It's funny, the Lord gave me that old truck back to you. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't ask why. There's no more whys anymore, folks. It's all, hey, I thank you, Lord. Because whether you believe it or not, the things, the hard things you go through, or those are the things that will teach you the most if you stick with God, if you allow him to minister to you. How many say amen to that? Amen. So there's no more whys, amen? Why? Yeah, why? Because there's no more whys, amen? But God is saying something in this. I love in this story what Elijah's doing. So I want you to look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 38. The word of God says here, love your enemies, okay? Amen. How many say amen?
Amen.
The rest of you that didn't say amen, hey, look at it again. It says, love your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be what? Great. And you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind to the what? Unthankful and to the evil. Even though you've been unthankful with him, he's still kind to you. Amen? He loves you. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Forgive. Yeah. Big word, folks. Today's world is a big word. That's a big word. Forgive. Period. This is not being spoken to you by some minor prophet. This is Jesus Christ himself saying, hey, love your enemies. Forgive. And you shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Is that right? How? Press down? Huh? Shaking together? Running over? How many want God to give you? Allow you to receive that that's pressed down, that's shaken together and running over.
Hallelujah.
Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. How many know there's a box where you can put your money in the back of this church? Man, I just thought I'd bring that up. Yeah. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, with whatsoever measure you meet, it'll be measured to you. If you give a lot, you get a lot. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get mad if I preach at you like that because there really is, God, according to his word, there's a blessing in giving. Is that right? Hallelujah. But folks, let me just say, amen. Hey, when God says to forgive your enemies, he means forgive your enemies. Amen. Look at this scripture right here. Matthew 5:43-48. You've heard that it's been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is what's cool about Jesus. Jesus has got a whole different perspective. Amen. Can I tell you that his perspective is probably the right perspective?
Yeah.
How many agree with that? Yeah. Why? Because he's God. This is God's perspective. You've heard that it's been said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for them which despitefully use you. Amen?
Yes.
And persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the just. on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Don't even the publicans do the same? And if you salute the brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore what? Perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Isn't that cool? Perfection of Christ. God is expecting. This is Jesus speaking to us, folks. These are his words. These are not my words. But they're my words now. Come on, amen? Because you got to love. You got to love your enemies. Sometimes it can be hard. How many say amen? Sometimes somebody can get under your skin. Is that right? Yeah. Well, guess what? God is saying, I know all about it. See, we saw earlier where he says, I know your thoughts. Yeah. See, what I really feel the Lord is saying to the body of Christ is that we need to be demonstrating who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You will hear a lot of Christians going against our government and speaking things that they shouldn't be speaking. And folks, the Word of God doesn't say where to do that, does it? It says that we are to pray for those that are in authority over us. It tells us that you've got nothing to say about. See, because is it funny that God says that we are created in His image? So He says in a place, He says, If you say you love of God who you haven't seen, how can you be angry or upset with a man or woman that you can see? God says, amen. This is not a two-way street. It's one way. How many say amen? Amen. There, anytime you say something about Mr. Biden, and I pray for these people. How many say amen? I pray for them. I ask God, you got to touch our country. You got to touch us. Lord, there is the only hope for this country and for our world today is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. Hallelujah. So you stand in that position. You say, God, we could use some help, God. I mean, how many of you say amen? We could use some help here. Amen. This government we have, God, can you help it? God said, my people, right? If my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray, yes. Seek my face, then they'll hear. I'll hear from heaven, and I will heal this land. Amen?
Amen.
Could it be that you might be positioning yourself in opposing God? Mm. Could it be that because of your attitude and your action, you are opposing what God has said, this is what I want from my people? How many say amen to that? Amen. You don't want to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 23 says this. Behold, I send an angel before you. And then the Lord talking to Moses about them going into the promised land. But we can use this scripture for today. How many say amen to that? Who's the angel today? His name is the Holy Spirit. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way, to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Amen?
Amen.
Obey his voice. Provoke him not. Do you see how sometimes just our actions or what we're saying in a way that we're talking about somebody, anybody, it could be somebody in there that's a Christian or somebody that's not a Christian, you speak, you're provoking him. Can you say it? Can you say amen to that? We're not supposed to do that, folks. That's not in us. That's not who we are. If you're doing that, that's you speaking. That's not the Spirit of God within you that's speaking. You better discern what who you're speaking from. How many say amen? Nobody ever go, hey, look, this is not what, yeah, this is what God gave me to give. Amen. All right. So I can see people looking at me like, I already hate you, bro. No, man. Come on, man. Be aware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon. Listen, he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if you shall indeed obey his voice, right? And do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. How many of you want an enemy to your enemies? Amen. How many of you want God to go after those things that have been troubling you? Amen. I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. See, God knows you've got enemies. He knows that. He just says, pray for them. Because what you're doing is you're acting like God. What did Jesus do from the cross, Father? They don't know what they're doing. Praying for his enemies. Woo-hoo, come on. Hallelujah. Then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel shall go before you and bring you unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Yeah. The Tacoites. Yeah. And I will cut, he says, I will cut them off, everybody but the Tacoites. Amen. But come on, man. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, listen. God doesn't play with his words. Amen. For some reason, we seem like we've taken him passively. How many know this? The Bible says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One God. One God. How many say amen? Aren't you glad we got one God? I mean, how many know the word of God tells us that there is no other God. Is that right? There's only one. Just one. Amen? You can't compare him to anything because there's only one. You got to have two to compare. If you got nothing, you're wasting your time. Amen? Isn't that right, Pastor John? So he's one God. That one, not only does it mean that he's the only God, but it also, there's in that oneness, he's also more than one. Is that right? Amen. We know him as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yep. Yet he's one God. So that one represents not only just the one God, but it also represents a unity like no other. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said it this way, I and my Father, can you go ahead and put that up? I think it's John chapter. I and my Father, what? Are one. Just one. We're one. Talking about a unity with the Father. Woo! And then in John 17, when Jesus is praying, before he goes to the cross, these are his words, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be
one.
That the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Yeah, everybody say amen. That's a place to say yeah, come on. Yeah. The glory that he gave you, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Didn't he say be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? You see, folks, when we do things in a disobedient way, sometimes we don't think we're being disobedient, but if you listen to your words, you might, you know, the word of God tells us to examine yourself. Is that right? You might find that you are saying some things that really you shouldn't be saying. Is that right? If you examine yourself. He wants us to be one with him. This is the oneness that that Jesus prayed for. The body of Christ, no longer can we point at another body of believers and say, nah, they don't know what they're talking about or whatever. God didn't raise you to be like that. He raised you to be who you are in him. And when you're who you are in him, you are confident about who you are. Amen? You're not anymore making excuses. Well, I just don't like this government, whatever. You no more saying, hey, somebody said, well, you know, isn't it true that you're supposed, isn't it true that you should be praying for your government and everything, or instead of saying all this stuff? And you say, yeah, well, nobody's perfect. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is saying, hey, man, you better remove that. That's not a house to hide under. He says, because I know who you are. I know where you stand. I know where you eat. I know where you sleep. I know everything about you. I know how many hairs on your head you color. Come on. Ah, yeah, come on, man. Is that right? And then the Word of God say he knows all the hairs on our head. He knows how many you've colored this last week. Come on, man. What is he? Now you guys are me again, aren't you? Yeah, come on. Folks, he knows you. And he knows and he hears every conversation that comes out of your mouth. He even knows it before it even comes out of your mouth. So it's up to you. The Word of God says that your soul is in your hand. What you know from God, you better use it. We speak what we know. Let's use what we know. How many say amen to that? Amen. Otherwise, you're being a hypocrite. Allow God to take you where he wants you, to position you in the body of Christ, no matter where you're at. And you're going to find that that's where he planted you. Your works are wrought in God. Do you know what that means? God's already planned for your works. And the works that you do, because you are in him, he will do through you. He can't do those until you totally and completely submit to him. Count yourself as dead. I don't do what I want, God. I don't do what I think I better do. I do what you want me to do. This weekend, we were supposed to have our advance. And the name of it was called, what's that been? Or camp out, yeah. The name of it was called the Be Still Advance, kind of an oxymoron. Yeah. But be still. If you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, just don't jump in there and say, hey, wait for God. Allow him to speak to you. Yeah. And he will tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to do. Isaiah 46:9 says this. This is the last scripture. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me. He's telling us to remember the things of old. Go back in the scriptures and look at the stories, like the story we read today. Go back in the scriptures and look at Genesis and how he built us in the beginning and how before sin was in the world, how God had planned things. And if man wouldn't have jacked it up, amen? Then who knows what the earth would be like today? Who knows? But God saw what happened. He knew it was going to happen. He planned for it. He sent his son, died for your sins. He was resurrected on the third day to justify you, to go before him, to get you into the presence of God. How many say amen to that? His word says, come boldly before my throne because he's already paid for you. You belong to him because you believe in Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ and what it's done. Go into that throne room and spend some time. Don't do anything on your own. You need to be one with him. What he tells you to do, do it. If he hasn't told you to do it, don't do it. Wait for him, and he will begin to lead your life like he wants to lead it. You'll find him speaking to you in certain times. Isn't that right, Linda? Oh, never mind. I'll just leave that. God will speak to your heart. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Because, folks, he desires for us. This is our planet. I mean, say amen. The planet Earth doesn't belong to the ungodly. The planet Earth belongs to God. And God said, the earth is mine, the fullness thereof. And then he turns around and gives it to Adam. Go back in your book. Look at that. Adam received what God had given him. Authority over this planet. Gave him the planet. He lost it to the enemy. And then Jesus destroyed the enemy. Took it back. And this is where we're at. God is doing a work with the body of Christ today that you might influence this world. Amen? You will influence him. Where is the kingdom? Don't lose this. Don't lose sight of this. Where's the kingdom? It's in here. It's in you. It's in you. So the influence is in you. You've got to allow that influence to be seen, to be heard. Amen? Hallelujah. And then watch. Watch what God will do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning for all that you're doing and all that you've done. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, Father, chosen ones. Father, those that you've chosen, Father God, to place your word within, that we might glorify you here on this earth, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work today. You are taking us, Father God, to a place, Father God, that you have planned even before the world was. So, Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for it. Father, I'm praying for each and every person today that's in this house. If they've never heard the gospel that would change their life, Father, I pray, Father God, that the words that are spoken this morning, you would, Father God, quicken them with those words. Show them who you are. Father, as they sleep tonight, don't let them rest. Come, praise God. Don't let them rest till they say, God, I surrender. I surrender all, Father. Thank you, Lord, because you have the best. There's none better than you, Father, as we sang this morning. So bless your people. Cause them to walk where you would have them to walk today. Today, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them thank you for being in the church. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.